Hi, this is I Want to Review, and with me, Cynthia Ng. On this episode, I have a very special guest. Her name is Catherine Yan. She is the Managing Director of IBM Malaysia. Now, Catherine has nearly 25 years of experience in the IT industry. Throughout her career, she has held management roles in many different countries. For instance, South Korea, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and in 2019, she decided to come back to Malaysia to lead and drive the business of IBM here. So I want to thank Catherine for making time for this interview and also welcoming me to your office here at IBM. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Well, Catherine, I think you had what could be described as a very successful career or a stint overseas. But can you tell us a bit about then your decision to return to Malaysia back in 2019? What led to that?
I've been away from Malaysia for almost 1.5 decades, covering the regional roles. And it has actually brought me to more than 20 over countries, having experiences across South Asia. But what has been missing in me is the sense of belonging at home. And one thing to make sure that of all the contributions and also the experiences that has brought me through the whole 2.5 decades, I wanted to come back, make an impact in the country, drive diversity agenda, and most of all, is to be relevant. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad that after 4 years, I have seen the fruits of what I've been in over since 2019. And hopefully that as we progress through, and a lot of the talents out there that's thinking of coming back to Malaysia, it is really a good call back as we can continue. We can contribute back.
Was that a difficult decision for you? I imagine that you have had a very good career overseas, and just making that step back to Malaysia with a very different work environment and also job opportunities, was that something that you had to think about extensively before moving home?
Well, indeed, it was. There were a couple of criteria that came in. It's all about relocation, the opportunities in Malaysia, what would be the settlement in after being out there for so long. But the government agencies has really helped a lot.
Right.
I think the Talent Corp in Malaysia has facilitated very much in my returning with the Return Expert program that I've embarked into. And it has really getting on what I call it as a seamless progression to come back, the incentives that was given, and also the ease of making sure that I accustom back to the country. But most of all, it is all about making sure that I adjust back to the country, the economies, and making sure the relevancy of the digital transformation is where I could impact in the work that I do today.
If you look at overall the setup of Talent Corp and its objectives, it has been very difficult for them to lure Malaysians back home. Despite all the initiatives that has been rolled out, like tax exemptions and also family benefits, why has it been difficult, an uphill battle for us to lure highly skilled Malaysians back home?
Well, there are a couple of contexts that attributes to it, the socio-economic context, the political stability, and I think most of all is the opportunities in country.
Yep.
I would actually call it the need to be able to have much more visibility towards what's happening here in Malaysia as a major call out. Number two is that when we talk about the effectiveness of infrastructure for the Return Expert programs, I think there's a lot of contention to be able to promote more frequently and more massively across the talents out there. And for me, I do my part as well as a returnee to be able to encourage and to share the best practices across as to what are the benefits that we could have seen coming back in Malaysia. The context of Malaysia as an economy of growth is so eminent, and the returnees is going to be able to see that there are so much of opportunities in here that we could contribute back to the economy.
Talk about Malaysia being an eminent place, you know, for growing as a growing nation. Do you see there's more interest among talent, among companies to come to Malaysia?
Digital talents, to me, continues to be a journey to success. If you do a ratio of observations across, it has been an agenda for every organization to be picked on to ensure that we have the right digital talent to grow the organizations and the business to the next level. Now, in my approach and in my observations, digital talents here in Malaysia still needs a lot more work to do. For example, the need to co-create ecosystems between public and private sectors to drive the digital talents of the future is a must. The need to also observe how we can be able to drive back the digital talents returnees who's now working abroad should be considered seriously. And number three is that on the digital talents is how much of pipelines do we have to ensure that in 3 to 5 years' time, the digital talents are not easily unattainable, but it is available in the marketplace.
You touch a bit about industries and companies are facing similar challenges in the war for talent. So despite the mass layoffs by global tech companies, the competition for talent is fierce as ever. Help us understand what's happening then in your industry.
So digital talents across the need in Malaysia has been growing to a consistent movement where we are actually seeing a lot of needs as compared to before. What do I mean by that? As you have seen the necessity in every organisation to drive talent and also transformation, it is talking about how much of skills do I have in an organisation versus how much of technology do I invest. So when we look at what organizations should be looking for, it is all about making sure that when the structure of technology journey moves in any organization planning, there must be substantial planning towards where are the talents within the organizations, how do they be able to acquire the talents, and how much of investments can the organizations do to the existing people in the organization to skills them to the next level. Now, interestingly, when we talk about talent across organization, it is a crawl, walk, run strategy. And when we looked at how ready is a technology transformation in an organization, a proper planning needs to be worked out to ensure that there is enough people's skills to be able to support the technology landscape that they're looking for.
So in the context of Malaysia, do you see there's a talent gap at the moment?
Well, the observations that I'm seeing and also having discussions with various customers and also industries across, yes, there is a talent gap. And what do we mean by that? When we actually look at the construct of the talents and the needs to be skilled, there is a need at all, and the talent gaps that we are seeing is quite imminent. Now, when we look at technology, the interesting part is that technology is working through at a very robust stage. It's so rapid and it's imminent that every day the skill sets needs to be skilled. For example, at IBM Malaysia, what we have practiced is that we invest through 60 hours of technology skills to make sure that all our team is staying on relevant to the technology skill sets of today, to be able to stay abreast with the transformation journey and to be able to understand how do we impact through the technology changes that we have embraced within the organization.
A lot of major companies are cutting staff, staff layoffs. I think IBM also has announced 3,900 globally. How has that impacted, you know, you as a managing director here in Malaysia in terms of hiring and retention, and what are the areas that you're looking to grow at?
Right. Well, it has continuously a journey where every organization would need to stay relevant and would need to continue to observe how we can be able to run the cost optimization to a greater aspect to ensure that the revenue growth, the profitability is always at the uptrend. And when we looked at the economies today, there are certain areas that needs to be resized and there are certain areas that needs to be invested. And where I would actually foresee the investment that will continue is the skills, the technology skills of the talents within the organization, the need to be able to invest where the rapid growth of the customer's experience comes in, and also where the revenue growth trajectory can be achieved. And when I look at the talent across Malaysia, it's going to be a very mixed practice across the year and throughout where the industries are, you would notice that the resizing of organization is imminent, but the investment of field organizations is also rapidly growing. Mm-hmm. It really depends on how much a balance of revenue growth versus profitability that an organization can be able to foresee in the near future.
In a tight labor market, is it harder for you to find the right talent?
Well, it is. It is. Well, when we actually look at talents, the technical skills talents are always the most competitive skilled quadrant that we look at. And it is also because we not only face competitions within the organizations in Malaysia, it's also the talents being poached in the other developed countries
going
as well.
Going back to our brain drain topic earlier.
Exactly. And this is where organizations like IBM Malaysia, we continue to strive to make the organization a better place. Mm-hmm. We ensure that the employees are skilled and the value that they actually bring forth not only stays with them within the workplace that they are in, but it's also a life learning skills that they can bring forth.
Now, besides upskilling and providing them with skills that they need, employees increasingly they want more and more control of how they work, where they work, when they work. So I do wonder at IBM, you know, how do you create career paths for your employees that allow for that kind of mobility and flexibility as a tool for retention?
A sustenance of an organization as a great place to work comes with being relevant of how the employees feel. Mm. And it's always a balance between productivity and also making sure that the interests of the employees are always held at the highest level. So what do I mean by that? We have created and we have implemented a work-life integration. Mm-hmm. Here in this organization, we believe in running through a hybrid model of a working environment. As we are a meritocracy organization, productivity has always been making sure that while the employees are able to produce the best of the results in the marketplace, they are also taken care from in terms of the context of their well-being. And the well-beings of the employees are very personal. As such, some employees would prefer a hybrid model of working from home in the organizations and in work that they are in. Some employees prefer to have mental health trainings, mental health profile sharings. Some would love to have networking sessions.
Have you seen results from those kind of measures that you have implemented?
Oh, yes. For the past 1 year, we have actually seen so much of employees that came back and have told us that they wanted an environment where it's a safe place to work, an environment where they feel comfortable being able to produce the best of what they do at work in the marketplace, but also being able to take care of their family back at work. And this is where we have launched through the work-life integration structure. And from the engagement point of view as well, is always listening. And what I've always seen is that it is a journey, because we can be able to coexist together to see what the employees are looking for, but at the same time, making sure that they are at their level best in producing their output of productivity.
Now, I do want to hone in a little to talk about women, especially keeping women in the workforce. It's something that's a lot of debate going around. You know, yes, you know, Malaysia have improved, you know, our maternity leave days from increasing it from 60 to 98. Yet at the same time, it's worrying to hear that some employers now are choosing to hire more men because of this reason. So the term motherhood penalty is something that I do want to talk to you about. How do you feel about it? And what are policies do you think should be in place to level the playing field for women to stay and also for those who have left to come back to the workforce?
Right. Well, diversity and inclusion agenda is so real. And in IBM Malaysia, what we practice is that we believe that diversity is a very important flagship to drive business essentials and productivity. Now, my observations is that the government in Malaysia has started through a lot of initiatives that encourages women to return to work, that encourages a certain percentage of representation of leadership in the every board and organizations, and it's a good sign. And to me, the DNA has to be implemented within the organization itself. Now, we have to walk the talk. And in the in where I observe today, it's interesting to see how many women are at the top position has a sustenance of more than 2.5 decades. Because it's not easy to be able to have them sustain at a certain period. There is a family they need to look after. Yeah. There is a lot of other factors that they could have just left the workplace. Now, what is important is that as we need to understand the women's needs versus where we could have landed in, I think we need to actually create an environment to mandate through a certain run-throughs. What do I mean by that? In the IBM Malaysia, we practice through making sure that if a performance-based employee candidate is at par, it's always a women candidate that we pull in. Today, we pride ourselves to say that we have got a 55% women representation in this organisation. And our challenge today is not about representation only, is to move the women to the next level, is to make sure that they can co-create their current environment as a woman, making sure that their family is taken care of. A family, as what I mean is that they could be a mom, a sister, a daughter, and other responsibilities that they have, and making sure that we can be able to understand their needs through. Now, diversity is an agenda that I hold very dearly because women in technology is still a challenge in Malaysia. And it's because of the ever-changing technology that strives so hard in terms of making sure that the women work at a very long hours. Not many women appreciate and can be able to stay in the environment. So where we have worked through is that we quadrant through the needs of the women's priorities outside of work, and we try to actually quadrant through what are the jobs, achievements that they would like to plan in within 3 to 5 years, and then we craft in. I think this is the best that
we have. So that's a very deliberate policy of looking into each and every employee and the needs of the women.
Right.
Is that how the approach is at IBM?
We strive to continue to see that there is a quadrant of job scope that we put through as whether it will suit what a woman or a woman can be able to take on. But what is more important is that across the organisations in the marketplace, as everybody dearly holds diversity as an agenda, the ever matters is what can we practice to be able to cater for the women agenda here in the country. Is it a work-life integration you're talking about? Is it a safer environment for them to work? Is it understanding that they can work from home or making sure that if they don't travel overseas because they have a work a commitment with their family at home, it's okay? So these are the factors that we need to weigh in when we want to support a women's agenda in a career progression.
Well, that's great what you're saying. How do we ensure that we create a more supportive environment for women to stay in the workforce? And also, I think this idea about being penalized for, you know, wanting to do it all.
It was very interesting that in my last event that I held on a public forum, and it was a question asked, if I were to have a policy changed, what would be my policy change with the government? I'll say it will be salary equity. As I looked at equality, it is real. And this is where I continue to advocate, not only in my organisation, but across a women in tech agenda as well, that salary equality has to be seriously looked at. Aside from just compensating and recognizing the women out there, I think there is a need also to ensure that when we hire the women's pool of talents into the organization, the salary base has to be as competitive as the men's salary base.
Okay, well, that's great to hear that's what you're doing at IBM. Okay, I do want to move the discussion to talk a bit about leadership. You mentioned early on in our discussion that there are women leaders like yourself, you know, in tech industry especially, but compared to men, it's still at a very low ratio. Why do you think that is the case?
Throughout my 2.5 decades of my career journey, I would say that the gender biasness experiences has been real, right? Throughout where I observe, especially in the technology industry, the gap between the diverse gender, male, female, is slightly a bigger gap compared to many organizations. Mm-hmm. Technology industry is a very robust industry, and it is it's also because it's so high in expectations. And it's an experience that a woman has to continue to push forward. Now, working through 90 hours a week for me is by choice. And it is because of the technology changes. Every day I have to run through to reskill myself in terms of how I need to be relevant in my technology workplace. I have to fight with the big boys club, right, to make sure that I'm at the same level playing field out there. And it is a journey. Now, why there is always a resistance for a few women to be able to climb up the ladder is because it's the time that is needed away from their family, a time that's needed away from where they do in their personal lives to be able to commit to the corporate ladder. That's always a milestone changes as to whether you want to actually put that commitment. And the second part is that there are very few women up in the organization. And sometimes it's the discomfort of, I call it being lonely with the big boys club. It is real, right? And as you navigate through, and I always advocate, you don't have to be them, but you have to exist with them.
How did you overcome that?
Well, I would actually say that it's a journey through that. It was not natural for me, right? I learned from the mistakes that that I've seen, I've done, and I also embraced through the changes. But one thing that really stuck out is that if there's one word that I could describe is resilience. You need to be resilient in where you are, and you need to be confident. I remembered 2 decades ago, I would step into a meeting room full of men, and I dare not even speak up because I thought my voice didn't matter. I thought that my voice would have been drowned. But I've learned along the way that it was just my perception. Right. It was not of other people's perception. It was that whole inferior complexity in me that men are always probably far more superior. But 2 decades later, I advocate through a lot with my mentees, with my women leaders as well, that the glass ceiling is for us to break. The glass ceiling is not meant for them to step over. So as I progress through, I think it's the learnings and it's the journeys that I've experienced through that I learned to be tougher, I learned to be relevant, mm-hmm. and most of all is that I learned to appreciate my voice.
Right, that's wonderful, Catherine. I think there's been a lot of discussion about putting more women in leadership positions. You know, what does having women in leadership positions, how does it make a difference, and what value does it bring to a company in your personal experience?
Right. There has been a lot of observations that we have seen that women in a diverse, or rather a diverse organization with women leaders does make an impact to business outcomes. It actually also ensures that every organizations are having a very well-represented voice in terms of commands. Women tend to be meticulous, articulative, and also, I call it as opinionated, right? And as you blend in where the organisation stands in, you would actually see that a lot of other organisations blend in will have a very blended and all-rounded business outcomes. And we have seen it in IBM, where the diverse agenda that hits in above 30% of ratio has a better business outcome performance as compared to the lesser percentage of ratio.